This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The headline, U.S. offers new details on plan to cap Russian oil prices. Reuters reporting, new guidance issued by the U.S. Treasury adds more detail to a complex plan by the European Union, G7 nations, and Australia to cap the price of Russian oil starting December 5th. To help me in this wilderness of sanctions, Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution has been my guide since the war broke out in February. Michael, what I understand right now is that a whole lot of different transnational organizations are trying to arrive at a price. I was taught a long time ago by a wise man from NYU that everything's possible. All you have to do is find the price. And the story goes on to say, aiming to deprive Moscow of a war profit premium on its oil, the price cap plan has for months left shipping services providers confused about what specific rules they will need to abide by to avoid sanctions. That makes me feel better because I'm also confused. So if they don't know, I come to you, Michael. $65, and it's a debate. Why? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. And this reminds me of an old joke that what is a camel? A camel is a horse designed by a committee. But now we have several committees. We have the EU, we have the United States Treasury, we have the British government, which is now not member of the European Union. We have several other major countries which influence it. We have Turkey, which is a big part, we'll talk about it later, although it's not a member of the EU. And so they are arguing about $65 per barrel free on board. So at the time that the oil is put on the tanker, on the shipment, regardless of the transportation costs, insurance costs, or anything which may be high. And therefore, several countries, members of the EU, very important members, which are close geographically to the war, and former parts of the Soviet bloc, Poland and the Baltic states, they're saying the price of $65 per barrel is too high because it is a market price. It's what basically the Russian oil is going on the world market anyway, because it's $20 or so with a discount against Brent, and Brent is $86, so $65 is too high because it does not really hit Russia. The countries that are very much dependent on shipments and on shipping, such as Greece, Malta, and others, they're saying, no, the price is too low because we want a higher price, because this will allow Russia to sell oil, and our shipping companies will abide by that price and will make money on shipping oil in the Mediterranean. So they have to kind of bargain and agree on what's acceptable to all these countries which are arguing from different standpoints. Some are talking about the impact of Russia, and some are talking about their own revenues from shipments.
So what we have here is, once they find a price, this is the price to be paid by countries that are not boycotting Russian oil, chiefly delivered by sea to Europe, but all the other countries in the world, Africa, Asia, South America, they're to pay this price cap only. But it doesn't work on a barrel of oil. It works on insurance. How so, Michael?
It works on the barrel of oil, which is loaded at any port of the Mediterranean, on the North Arctic Sea, Arctic Ocean, or in the North Sea and Rotterdam and Western countries, in any port, and ships to Asia, Africa, Latin America, and the Middle East. And so, because most insurance companies, 95% of insurance is sold by major Western companies. Most insurance companies are in the West. Most shipping companies provide banking services, payments, tradable, receivables, everything, trade credit, receiving credit for shipments. They are in the West. So the countries that are buying oil and are not members of the Western of the European Union, apart from the embargo, they have to abide by the rules. They are dependent on insurance companies, on financial companies which provide credit, and therefore they have to abide by the rules of this price cap. That's how it works.
Otherwise, no insurance, and therefore,
no insurance, no loans, no trade credit, and no financial transactions. Payments cannot go through because they have to be paid in dollars. They have to be paid through Western financial institutions. So they are free from the price cap when they're paying, but because they cannot pay without Western financial institutions and without Western insurance, they have to abide by the price cap.
Now you tell me there's a new information about Turkey and insurance. What is it, Michael?
Oh, this is a big deal because 10% of Russian oil export goes through the Black Sea, through the straits which Turkey owns, the Bosphorus and the Dardanelles. And Turkey is very much afraid of the pollution because leaking oil or anything happens, they want very good insurance. And the good insurance is Western insurance. They don't want anything else. And they want the so-called blue card, which Western insurance companies consortium provides. And so they're saying, as of December the 1st, no tanker which does not have oil insurance from the blue card from Western major insurance companies can go through the straits, which means that once these rules of the price cap are imposed and Western companies cannot sell insurance to Russian oil shipments, the straits are closed. The Black Sea is effectively closed for Russian oil export.
A story came up in these last days, and you helped me understand it. The bragging was this: Russia conducts largest ever daily debt issuance to finance war. Russia has conducted its largest ever, goes the story, in a single day. The ministry said Russia had raised $13.6 billion. But if I understand correctly, they're financing themselves with their own collateral. How does it work, Michael? We have a couple of minutes.
Well, they work in a very funny way, that the Central Bank of Russia, unique of any other banks in central banks in the world, is providing foreign exchange denominated, dollar denominated loans to banks in using as a collateral Russian bonds, domestic bonds, but foreign currency. No central bank does it because central bank provides liquidity in the currency of its own country, which it can print. And so the central bank effectively provides loans to banks. Banks provide loans, buying bonds from the government, which means that indirectly the central bank is buying government bonds. It's a very clever scheme, but the central bank has to print money eventually, and now the money supply is increased by 23%. So this is effectively the central bank monetizing government debt.
And therefore, it's a trick. Does everybody understand that this is not real? Is that understood?
Well, it's understood by the insiders. Of course, it is a trick. It is something that no respectable central bank in the world will do, but that's what it is.
And Michael, finally, back to the oil matter. They will come to a price, I'm certain. Last week, we talked about 62 to 64. Is that low enough to satisfy? There's always a price where we're aiming. We have a couple of minutes, seconds.
Yeah, that's they're now settling around 65. But probably it will be a bit raised to 66, maybe 67 to satisfy Greece and other countries.
Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution helping me understand what even the shippers say is confusing. The negotiations between all of these countries for the oil price cap December 5th. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.